You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to this episode of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining us this week to talk about security awareness in the tech industry is Aaron Gallagher, Cybersecurity Awareness Lead at Fastly. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Tom and Scott. I appreciate it. And I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you on. And I was just introduced to you on Scott's Cybersecurity Awareness Forum, where we were talking about the value of red team exercises in a security awareness program. So that was quite the panel, I'd say, wasn't it, Scott?
Yeah, it was one of our better ones, I think. You know, a good dynamic and lots of different perspectives. So really glad Aaron could join and super glad you could join too, Tom.
Yes, definitely. So Aaron, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my background is definitely unique for those that end up in the security space. But I feel like I always was told in college that you're never going to end up where you think you're going to end up. And so true. So I was actually a communication major. So that was my focus. I honestly thought I was going to end up in healthcare communication. That was my passion and my focus. But when I graduated, I started as an IT recruiter for a year. I'm not going to comment on how that job went, but I met a lot of great people who work in the industry. It gave me kind of the baseline learning to understand technology and IT and security. And from there, I met somebody who helped me get into IBM, and I was their cyber communication person. And again, I learned a lot at IBM. Somebody I worked with at IBM enjoyed working with me there and asked me to come along to a big insurance company where I worked there for a little under 4 years as their North American security awareness lead. And then I applied to Fastly, and it has been nothing but a wonderful experience developing this program and making sure that it makes sense for the organization.
Nice. Very nice. And it must be just different working for a tech company, right? Like what kind of experiences have you had so far?
So it is very different working for a tech company. And it was a big challenge coming on because it really made me rethink what a security awareness program not necessarily should look like, but can look like, especially for this environment. So, right, I came from an insurance company where I would say the majority of people are on a very level playing field with each other. I'm teaching security to folks who are in the field doing crop insurance and people, I learned a lot about crop insurance by that organization. People who are doing, you know, they had just added in cyber insurance, but that was like a really new thing for them. The biggest difference is that the knowledge gap at a tech company from people who may not know what phishing is to the people who could literally create a phishing platform if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So I am working with such different levels of knowledge from a technical level, security perspective. You have people in finance and HR, you have people in engineering, you have people that are creating, you know, the technology, and then people who are selling the technology, and they have very different security needs. So that is the biggest difference and challenge in working in a tech company doing security awareness.
Yeah. So Aaron, do you see a lot of sort of different roles you have to sort of tailor stuff to then?
Yeah. So that's one of the biggest things that has really changed my perspective. So I was super, super big into like phishing simulations. And Scott, you know, we don't do phishing simulations, yeah, which was a shock to me when I walked in the door.
Yeah.
But it really made me rethink, what is the purpose of the security awareness program? And it has become just that. We are putting a focus on role-based training and making sure that we address the security gaps that are very unique to each one of these different functions. So the security gaps in engineering are going to look very different from the security gaps in finance or accounts, you know, and sales, you know. So we're road mapping out role-based training and creating it in-house because we just haven't found somebody that can specialize in Fastly's needs.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I can only imagine, like, if you're trying to, you know, teach security awareness to the sales team versus the engineering team and then finance, and it's like so many different disciplines and so many different mindsets, right, when it comes to how they perceive being secure or how they perceive the security of the company itself. Do you have any, like, kind of examples of maybe some things you've done to kind of bridge that gap between these very diverse sets of people?
Yes. So the first thing that one of the first big things that I did when I came into Fastly was Security Awareness Month. We changed it from week, made it the whole month. And there are going to be situations where you're trying to get everybody's attention. And the biggest piece of advice I gave to all my teams who were helping me create presentations and introducing the teams, keep it interesting. I said, I don't really care if there's action items. The point of a presentation doesn't always have to be, I'm teaching you this, and I'm teaching you this, and I'm teaching you this, and here's what you take away from the presentation. You can level the playing field by just keeping it interesting. So if we can just get their attention in the first place, level the playing field, we start to build relationships with these different groups, and then we have those conversations to say, hey, what are your actual needs? What can we actually help you with? So aside from role-based training, where we're making it very specific for each function, we're also doing some blanket training, I guess, in a sense where it's not like we're telling you what to do, but trying to just get you engaged. Yeah. The engagement piece is the most important part. I'll say too, the program here is still a big work in progress. So right now we strategize what we're going to do, and now we're actually implementing it. So we just implemented one role-based training. We're working on more, but it's a work in progress. More to come.
Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So, like, just thinking of the tech industry in general, it's a little unstable right now, right? We've got, you know, layoffs happening. It's, you know, uncertain economy. You know, it seems like there's a lot
AI coming at you.
Yeah, yeah. Working against the tech industry. How do you see a security awareness program kind of evolving in this world that we're living in now with technology?
I will always fight for security awareness and the value and importance of it. I find some awareness programs from people that I've met frustrating in the sense of, in this market, in this economy, how are you showing value? Because, you know, if we are going into tougher times, if people and companies are trying to run leaner, then you have to show that this is a value add to your organization and not just something you're pouring money into. I could see the security awareness going either direction. Either you have somebody in your organization that is focused, heads down, really trying to flesh out the security gaps and train on a more individualized basis, or you have people that are babysitting vendors. And I'm not trying to critique vendors. They have a huge part in security, not just from training, but, you know, we have great technology that protects us every day. But if you're just hiring somebody to run a phishing test and you can't really pull metrics out of it and explain what education we're putting in on top of that, then are you adding value? I agree. You know, are we adding value there? Are we really proving how we're engaging something? And this is a hard, hard field to prove its effectiveness because it's so hard to gauge awareness and engagement. But there are small things too that you can pick out to show that what you're doing is valuable. So we put out a newsletter to explain a policy that we've always had, just people to know about it. And within one day, we had somebody reach out to us saying, hey, I fit into this new policy or this policy, and I need help and guidance understanding. What do I do in this situation? Help us out. That speaks volumes to the value that at least this program that I've created has added. We're reaching out to the right communication channels. They're getting to the right people. People are reading and understanding what we just wrote to them. So all these little things speak volumes to engagement. So as far as where it can go in this economy, you have to show that you are adding value. Humans are always going to be, I don't want to use the weakest link trope. That's awful. I hate
no,
that trope
that.
So
the
much.
The most targeted is what we say, yes.
And they, yes, thank you, Scott. They are the most targeted and they always will be. And we're always going to have great technology and we're always going to have great technologists behind that technology. But you have to have somebody that keeps it human. And that's what this security awareness does. It's not just annual training. It's not just clicking a button to run, you know, phishing simulations. It's keeping the humanity intact in a very technical world. And you need a person to do it.
I wanted to just ask you also, Aaron, you know, based on what you just said, do you find it hard to speak with executives or to get their time or to get them to get engaged?
I don't personally, but I want to give Fastly so much credit that although it's not the biggest company I've ever worked for, it is the flattest company I've ever worked for in the sense that if I need to message my CISO, just going to go shoot him a message and ask him for, I just did it the other day. I was like, hey, can you look at this newsletter that I took your wording from and see if you like it? And that was a non-issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm working. I just got asked to work and assist on a presentation for the board. You know, I'm being utilized in ways that it is important to have somebody who understands communication and security and is comfortable talking to people. So I don't have an issue with senior staff, any C-suite level folks, but at Fastly especially, they're very, very open to that conversation. And that's a struggle for a lot of people in this field.
And you've got the communication background that really should facilitate it and make it easier. But a lot of people responsible for security awareness programs don't.
Well, that's something about this position that I find so unique is that somebody in tech, somebody who has, you know, 10 years of technology in their background, might not be the best fit for this. Now, somebody who focuses just on communication and doesn't have any knowledge in security also might not be the best fit. But if you get somebody who has the communication piece, has those soft skills, has, you know, the passion and love for people, and you teach them, the security thing.
Yeah.
This is my story, guys.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for success in this field where you want somebody with those soft skills and understand that you can always teach them.
Yeah.
As long as they're a sponge and they're willing to learn, you can teach them. But those soft skills are hard to come by sometimes. I'm not trying to humble brag. I'm just saying.
No.
The soft skill can be a challenge. Not.
Yeah. So I hear a couple things just hearing or listening to this conversation. You know, I think the culture of the organization makes a huge difference. You have a very open culture at Fastly. That's awesome. Not all companies are going to be like that. So there's going to be probably additional challenges for people like in your role, especially larger companies, thinking of like a giant financial institution with, you know, tens of thousands of people is probably very different than, you know, from an engagement perspective, but also communication. And you mentioned communication is a big deal. And the more skills that you can bring to the table in a security awareness role with communication can be a huge plus for helping send the right message out to people.
Absolutely. I mean, when I talk about communication skills, it's not just the ability to speak. I mean, it is the ability to create any sort of content that's engaging. You know, we're going to turn our security policy into annual training. How do I take a security policy? How do I understand a full security policy and transform that into something that's digestible for people? I think I don't want to sell myself short, but I think one of my biggest assets here is my naivety to technology. And I'm more well-versed than I give myself credit for sometimes, but keeping the end user perspective is one of the most important things for this field, for this position, is remembering that, understanding how people are going to take in this information, how people are going to process this information. I don't want to quote myself or quote the stat on this, but I think it's that people take like only 30% of information that they're given. They don't take a lot. So you have to apply that understanding to a lot of what you're reading. If I'm going to write an entire newsletter, I need to make sure that those headings are really bold. I need to make sure that people know what the topic is before they even read 5 seconds into it, because I've lost them after one scroll. I know this. Yeah. If I get some people to read it, amazing. But I need them to know what's happening on the first screen on their computer, because you lose them after a scroll or two.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are important to communication that isn't just the verbal communication piece of it. So, you know, what's interesting is one of the best talks I ever went to was at the SANS conference 2 years ago. There was an entire presentation just on psychology and security and applying different psychological tools to help train and teach people. And I thought that was fascinating because we know all of this stuff. We know how to communicate. We know psychology. We know marketing. And yet we struggle to push it into the security field. But we can do it. We absolutely can do it.
Yeah, I think there's more of a movement about bringing more of that into just cybersecurity in general. I mean, we've interviewed several incredible people on this podcast, Leanne Potter and, you know, Cyber Empathy podcast. And she's just doing amazing things, just bringing in that human element of empathy into the conversation of how to, you know, really drive conversations forward by being empathetic. And so same thing like what you're mentioning with writing. All of these things are really valuable when we're trying to get the right message across about security and being security aware. So it's just great that you're doing things like that.
I love just hearing, again, my boyfriend talks to me all the time about like AI is going to take everybody's job. We can debate that later, but
yes,
you know, at some point we all have to remember humans are still behind this, and there always will have a need, or there will always be a need for humanity to be in technology. And I think the emotional part of it is a huge piece, not just from an attacker's perspective, where like they play on emotions all the time, but having a heart for people when mistakes are made, creating that environment and that culture to say, I get it. You're going to make mistakes. It happens. Accidents happen. Life happens. We get it. We just want to be here to catch you when you fall. And that's the message that our teams are always sharing, is that we don't expect perfection. We expect you to make a mistake. We just hope that you come to us when that mistake is made. So, you know, we do our best to create this, as you were saying, empathetic environment for people, one of understanding.
Well, this has been a great conversation with you, Erin. How can our listeners find out more about you and what you got going on?
I'm going to be honest and say I'm a little boring. They can find me on LinkedIn. Although as somebody who is in security, I am fairly discreet about what I post and what I share.
Fair enough.
But if you ever want to message me on LinkedIn, I am more than happy to have a conversation. I could talk to a walk. So I'm happy to talk as much as I possibly can.
And she talks to panels too.
I talk to panels. I talk on this podcast.
See?
I talk in my sleep. I wish that was a joke. It's not. But yeah, you can absolutely reach out to me on LinkedIn. And if there are questions or comments, I'm always more than happy to chat about
it. And Erin is often on the Cybersecurity Awareness Forum panels as well and provides awesome perspectives. And you can have a direct chat with her there in the Zoom chat.
Hey, thanks,
awesome.
God.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I love being on those panels.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll have those all linked in the show notes as well. We promote that on this podcast all the time. So I definitely recommend checking out future panels and the past ones because there's YouTube channel. I know, Scott, you upload those previous episodes.
We've got 41 that we've posted already. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Those are hour-long
very cool
panel sessions on different topics. So, yeah.
Awesome. And they're great.
Thanks, Erin. Now it's my turn to blush.
All right. Well, Erin, thank you so much for coming on the show, and hopefully get to talk to you again soon.
I hope so, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.